Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to thank God for our praise, our worship band. Amen. A lot of sacrifice, a lot of commitment. Just their heart is just crying out. And we just thank God for them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, there's something that has changed my life. I want to share with you. The word of God is not knowledge, just knowledge. It's experience. It's experience that makes you believe for more experience. It's encounters that make you believe for more encounters. Amen? So for the time I have, we want to look at something. You know, we've been on this worship train, but I just want to show you something before we go further. Gary, do you mind to come, please? Please come. No, just come. Tanya, come. If you don't mind, I want Gary to stand here. I want Tanya to stand. I just want to use them for just an illustration. Okay. Gary desires to be a pilot. Tanya desires to be a doctor. Okay? That's a desire. Okay? So, when you have a desire, it can die a desire without action. So, for them to see that desire come to pass, they said, I must go to school, to university. The purpose of university school is to train people to fulfill their desire and to be also useful. That desire is not just, I want to be a doctor just to be a doctor. She wants to be a doctor so she can help people and it can give her the finances she needs to make a difference, to live a good life. He wants to be a pilot for many reasons. And to be a pilot, he wants to make sure people are taken from one location to the other safely. And it's a passion of his heart. And of course, he will sustain his life. So these are desires in their hearts, okay? Two people. Now, what happens? They come to school. So, can you come to school? This is school. Stay here. Yeah. Please, can you come to school? That's university. So they come to school. They learn the things that they are going to learn. It's written in paper. Huh? It's written in paper. And the requirements the school has is that they have to go through a certain amount of courses or training, and they have to go through it in a certain amount of years. Huh? So it's all written in paper. So what happens is, Tanya goes to school, first year, second year, third year, three is going to school. So these are the things she studies. Huh? So she has them. She's gone to school. Remember, she wants to be a doctor. And then Gary wants to be a pilot. He's going to school. So they are in school. They are studying. Amen? So how do you know that she can become an effective doctor? How do you know he can become effective pilot? Because what she's about to study, right, is the government has a board. They can never allow her operate and take care of people who are on the verge of life and death. What she's planning to study, people's life is at stake. And the government, the board, cannot just let anybody do it. Right. So they have a criteria that you must meet, a standard you must meet, you pass the exams before they can even trust you to touch people's lives or prescribe. Amen? How many of you like to fly a plane and the doctor tells you, I'm still in school? Amen? You get into the plane and the pilot says, I'm just practicing. You don't care how much you paid, you're coming out of that plane. Okay. So that's what school are for. Amen? So, how do you know, and how does the thing they are studying, how do they become that thing? So here's what happened. She's studying night and day. She's paid the price. She's paying for this. And she's studying night and day. That's not enough. So the school says, before we can trust you to go from first year to this or this semester to this, they will give you a test. The purpose of the test is to find out if you just have it in your head or you have it in your heart or you're serious about this desire. So the test comes and the test makes her study more, practice more. And then she comes to the text, they will grade you to just see how much you're doing. So she goes, maybe she makes A or B's or whatever. She is able to meet the requirements and she passes and she gets to this level of the school. Can you come to this level of the school? You've done very well, so you're here. Amen? The same thing with a pilot. He goes to school, practice, does. This is a lot of work and he's paying for it. And he goes through tests and tests and tests. And then he comes to this level. Thank you, sir. Okay. So they are in school. They are going through the process. There is the aspect of the school that these two professions and most professions, you cannot just go in with knowledge alone, passing the test. There is the aspect you have to practicalize the things you have known, you pass the test. Now those practicals have to be tested. So they bring you to maybe to a hospital for a doctor, and they take him to where planes to fly plane with other pilots. The practical. Because they don't just want to leave you with head knowledge. What you're about to do is the practical that puts people life and death on the ground. Knowledge is not enough. Amen? Amen. So they take you through practicals. You have your practical text, you have your practical test. Amen. So she goes through these intensive interim programs in the hospitals, from hospital to hospital, from doing operations, watching operations, practicing and going through. She has to practicalize it. Knowledge is not enough. He has to especially practicalize it. To carry Boeing 747 or whatever takes probably sometimes up to 200 people or more. 200 families trust you with their life in the air. Who is going to certify that if you have not been tested in your practicals? Amen? Amen. So they practice, they are tested, they go through, they tested. They're even given an opportunity to fly a plane by themselves with the other pilot on this side. Tested and tested. She goes through a lot of practicals, a lot of practicals, a lot of hospitals, a lot of, and then goes to a board exam. When you see somebody say, I'm a doctor, they pay the price for it. When you see somebody say, I'm a pilot, they worked hard for it. Of course, other profession, I'm just using two. So they go through this process, then they come to this graduation place. Okay, you've graduated. You're about to graduate. Okay, you graduate from this whole thing. They graduate. They give them certificates. They give them everything. Now, she is gone through practicals. She's through school. She's gone through. Then now she has a certificate and she's called a doctor. Doctor. That is added in her name. Abi doctor? Okay. Then he's called a pilot. Huh? Both of them are employed or given a place in the hospital or open a practice. He is given a plane to fly families in from one country or one location to another. Why will they be trusted with this kind of lives? They paid the price. They were tested and they qualified. Many people don't make it, but many are called. But those who pass the test are the ones that are saving lives today, flying people. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Give me my text. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Amen. I want us to look at the Word of God today. And I want you to have that picture in mind about what you're about to hear. Amen? Amen. Let's open to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Remember, where we are this year, God has given us a key, and that key is worship. And we covered, to some extent, we summarized worship as a key. We covered that, and then we started with this acronym, this the word worship, to lead us into an encounter this year that will transform our life, our spiritual DNA, into what God wants us to be. So we look at the word W, means the Word of God. So we are now in the season of talking about the Word of God. Later we're going to look at O, which is the word for obedience, ordained for a purpose. R, we're talking about redemption. That's redemption. That's all that Jesus came to do, to redeem us. We're going to see the power of redemption. And then we're talking about S, sonship. Upon this rock I'll build my church. You're Christ, the Son of the living God. Our identity as God's children. What that means. And then H, we're talking about heirs of God. Depends on what family you are, you have to know the bloodline that carries rulership as heirs. And then I means inheritance. It's not everything in this world you work for. There are things that has already been paid for that we inherit through redemption. And then the word P is presence. That's the whole thing Adam lost. That's the whole reason that we are born again, is to be restored to his presence. We're going to look at what that means, the presence, and how prayer is connected to that. So that's the word worship. We are still in the word W. Amen? There's no way we can go stay on the Word of God for a whole year and still not cover everything. So we're just going to cover what we can so that we can be able to move on to the other aspects of what the foundation, the things God wants to lay in our lives. So to remind us of the Word of God, let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him, the Word was life. And the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. You jump to verse 14. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Let's just read this quickly. 1 John 5, for those who have not been following this with us. Let's quickly open 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, let's look at verse 7. This is John still writing. For there are three that bear record in heaven or witness. The Father, the what? The Word. You see, 1 John 5, 7. There are three that bears witness. In other words, these three that bears witness. The Father, the Word, and what? The Holy Spirit. And these three are what? One. Let me tell you why I share this. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? We've gone through this. I just want to kind of remind us of some things. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Now, all through the Bible, you hear again, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and what? The Holy Spirit. So now it says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. So in 1 John, it says, in the beginning, even before the beginning of time, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, because Father, the Word. Then it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? So when Peter received the revelation, he says, Jesus was here in the flesh, in the Word. Say, who do people say that I am? Who am I? Peter received the revelation from the Father. Say, you are the Son of God. Listen carefully. So, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. For you to become a son, you have to be born again by the Word of God. So the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son. Peter says we are born again by an incorruptible word. First John says, we don't know how we should, but we are the children of God. So for us to be born again, we are born again by a new seed, the Word of God. Amen? 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 Amen. Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Word, Holy Spirit. So that's the Word of God. The Word of God is one, is who God is. We just read it. And the Holy Spirit comes to be a witness of the Word of God. Meaning, the Holy Spirit will always perform the Word of God. Always demonstrate, always fulfill, always manifest the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Because they are one. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the power of God in heaven and in earth. Amen? Okay. Amen. Amen. So let's open our Bibles. We're looking at the Word of God. Today, we want to focus on the aspect of, just so you remember, the power of the spoken word. The power of the spoken word. There was nothing made that was made without the word. God said, let there be. So let's open to the book of Psalms. We're going to study together today. Psalms chapter 1. Let's look at this. Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of discomfort. But his delight is in the word. It says law, but that's the word of God. We're talking about the Old Testament. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And in his word, this law, doth he meditate. The word meditate means ponder, to chew, to digest. When you eat, the food is not digested, it's not useful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and is his law, his word, that he meditate day and night. Amen?
Amen.
And here is an illustration. Before we get into something this morning, here is God describing and giving us an understanding the power of the word of God in our lives. If we eat it, if we chew it, if we obey him. He says, if you meditate on the word, if you chew the word, if you eat the word, if you really, really meditate on the word, he says, this is what the person will look like. And he gave an example. This is David speaking. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does or doeth shall prosper. So here's what. Anyway, let's read another scripture. Open to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So Joshua chapter 1, God gives Joshua a promise. God gives Joshua an inheritance. He says, I will give you an inheritance. I'm giving you a promise. This is what I will do with your life. This is what I have given to you. Heaven has promised you. Wherever you go, wherever you inheritance, blessing, promises of God. So this is what he tells Joshua. As a condition, how that will work. Let's look at verse 8. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8, it says, you know what? Let's read 7. Only be thou strong and very what? Courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, that's the word, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it. Turn not from the Bible. Don't turn from the Bible, from the word of God, from the law. Turn not from it from the right hand or the left. That thou mayest what? Prosper whithersoever you go.
Amen.
Verse 8. This book, the Bible. Now, we are more blessed. We have the full Bible. They just have the Torah. Just a portion. And that was legalistic law. We have both new and old. It says, this book of the word of God or the law shall not depart out of thy what? Why mouth? Why mouth? You're going to see today the power of the spoken word. It shall not depart out of thy what? Mouth. Amen?
Amen.
How is it going to come to your mouth? This book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, the same word, meditate, chew, process, digest. Therein, day and what? Night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. My brothers, my sisters, God, all through the Bible, has given his word. But in these two passages I'm sharing with you, he gave these two pillars of the Bible. Joshua moving towards possessing a promise that God gave for generations to lead the people into it. And David to manifest destiny and purpose for Israel. That till today, Jesus says, I am the seed of David. The foundation of David. These two, God used to share with us the secret behind every man and woman of God that was successful in the Bible. Even if you don't hear them talk about Esther or talk about Ruth or talk about this or talk about anyone successful in the Bible, God just said, this is the principle.
Amen. Yes.
He said to David, and he said to Joshua, he said to David, you will be the example. You will be like a tree planted by waters. Your leaves will never wither, and you will produce fruit in season. And he said to Joshua, the promise I gave, the inheritance I've given to Abraham, the promise, he told Moses, you are going to a place where there will be giants, the land of the Hittites, the Amorites. In other words, that land is in an inheritance, but that does not mean you will not fight. The word of God is a sword of the Spirit. It's for battle also. So, God tells them, he says, if you do what I tell you, if you obey me, your ways will not only prosper, but everything you do will prosper.
Amen.
Everything. Your ways and everything you do will succeed. And he says, good success.
Amen?
Amen? Hallelujah. Why? My brothers and sisters, because the word of God is God's.
Amen.
The word of God is backed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen to this. The word of God has no beginning, has no ending. The word of God created what we see and what has beginning and end. The word of God can never change. God can never change. The word of God can never change. But everything that is in the path of the word of God must change for the word to prevail. Everything created is subject to change to manifest the word of God. So when God speaks, whether he's Something that will happen in 10 years or happen in 5 years, nothing can stop it from it coming to pass.
Amen.
It's finished. That's why when people receive dreams or visions or they receive a prophetic word that is from the Lord, it comes to pass. Nothing can stop it. Death cannot stop it. Sickness cannot stop it. Satan cannot stop it. Nothing can stop the word of God. The only power God has given to Satan is to be our test ground for every exam. Have you seen my servant Job test? Every trial, the book of James gave us every trial. James chapter 1. What it is, you want to be a pilot, you want to be a doctor, you are tested. I just gave that illustration. The purpose I gave that illustration is, in this world, the moment you get born again, Satan tests you. Circumstances are your test if you believe what you know. The purpose of trial, the purpose of problem, situation, is to find out if the word of God is true in your heart. Because the word of God can never fail, can never change. It's 100% success.
Amen.
Never. Everything about the word of God is 100% success. God said to Joshua, if you meditate, he said to Moses, to David, if you meditate, what is he saying if you meditate? That's the illustration of the school. If you will go to the school of the word of God, and you pay the price, and you live the discipline, and you let the word of God enter your life, sit in your life, circumstances will come, situation will come and test. And because that word is in you, because that word is inside of you, because you've digested, you know it, that word is what will come out of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, it's like a sword. It will put the devil where it is, and you keep going.
Amen.
It says, if you have the word of God in you, success is because you've been tested. The reason people graduate and get success and get A's and get B's, they were tested. Before anybody can say you're successful, it's because they passed a test. They have done something that people have tried to do and they never attained that. The word of God can never fail you. It's the only foundation that can never be shaken. It's the only thing that can take you from point A to B and never change course. The word of God is not just God's word. It is backed by the force of heaven. One thing Satan is afraid of is the word of God. Even Jesus had to be tested as he was coming out to enter ministry. Satan came and said, I want to find out who are you? He was tested. And after the test, he passed the test. The Bible said the devil left. Amen?
Amen?
We can go on and on and on. But this morning, because we're going to cover different areas of the word of God, I want to talk to you this morning about your victory is in your mouth. There is power in the word of God that comes out of your mouth. So let's look at that quickly. Let's open to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want you to see this. Actually, let's look at Romans. Put your marker Romans 4. Let's look at first Romans 10. What you are about to hear might sound simple, but this is the way I have survived for many years. Romans 10. Listen to this. We'll read from verse 6 to verse 10. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks. For you to speak means it has a voice. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from what? The dead. But what saith he? What the righteousness? In other words, what does our Christianity, what does the faith, this belief we have as God's children, what does it say? It says, the word is in near thee. That's in thee. Even in thy what? Thy mouth. And in thy what? Thy heart. That is the word of faith which we what? Preach. I will explain this to you. Verse 9. That is, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. In other words, what? Verse 10. Here's the principle. For with the heart, man believes. We believe. But with the mouth, our confession, our declaration releases solutions to salvation. So, before we go to Romans 4, let's look at what the scripture is saying. Don't say, especially in this New Testament, oh God, oh look at what sin has done. Look at what Satan has done. We are falling. The fallen nature, fallen man, fallen this, fallen that, Satan this, Satan that. Please come, Jesus, come and save us. See, don't say that in your heart, lest you come back again. And then, what he's trying to say is, he's already come. Huh? Then he says, what did he come to do? Don't say in your heart, go back to the grave and rise again. Come and die for us again and be raised from the dead again. Come and pay for our price. Come pay the price for sin. Come pay the price for us. Every problem we have. Come and defeat Satan for us again. Say, don't say that. He said, what does the word say? He says, now, all we need for victory is in our heart and in our mouth. What does that mean? It means that the word of God in this New Testament has settled on that cross. Jesus said, it is finished. On that cross, everything Satan did to rule this world, to rule man, to pollute the physical system, the soulish man, and put human race in bondage, Jesus has paid the full price. He not only paid the price, the reason for restoration, he brought back life. Amen. That he says, now, all authority, all power in heaven and in earth, beneath the earth, is now in Jesus. He has given him a name above all names, that by the name of Jesus, everything must bow. Amen. Anywhere. So he's saying, don't say in your heart again, Satan is not being defeated. Don't say again sin is not being conquered. Don't say again all these things. Don't say again poverty. Don't say again this. What you need to do is say, believe what God has done in your heart. If you believe it in your heart and your mouth says it, you will have what you say. That's the greatest miracle. Every one of us. Some people here might not realize that. Do you know what it means for me to have lived 28 years of my life in the world, completely run by Satan, completely run by the things of this world, completely controlled by my flesh, my ways. Satan was just, I didn't know what anything about Christianity. I was just Roman Catholic mind, knowledge, religion, just living under that influence of darkness without knowing it. Do you know what it means the day I believe this word and I say, forgive me. Jesus, I receive you. You are the Lord of my life. You are my Savior. You are my life. Your blood is washing. I receive you today. Do you know that day a miracle beyond miracle? A new man was born inside an old man. The experience of born again is the most powerful miracle ever. Another man, brand new man, was born inside of me. My brothers and sisters, when that man was born inside of me, the desire of God for that man and the plan of God for that man, just like I talked about doctor and pilot, I use that as physical illustration, is for that man to go to school, find out who he is, find out, go through the testing and the practical, and to come to this place when they say, I am the Son of God. Even though you carry this dirty flesh. But you know that you know there's somebody inside of you not born of flesh and blood. That's what it means to be born again. You can't be a Christian without being born again. The difference about every religion in this world is they can never be born again. Never. They're just doing renovation and upgrading of their mind. Only Christ, only Christianity has the power for you to have a newborn person. The righteousness that is of faith, not of religion. Now listen, what does this righteousness say? The reason for this illustration, every one of us in this room has been given a measure of faith. What that means? You're born again. You know you're born again. You are excited, but still, your mind has not been changed. You're like a child inside of you, and you have to go to school. You have to be tested. You have to go through trials. You have to go through temptation. You have to go through suffering. You have to go through a process to test if the word of God is rooted, is established inside of you. After many tests, after many trials, I'll give you a good example. David said, after he said, I killed the bear, I killed the lion. That was a test. So I know the same God I have found is able to kill Goliath. That's a test. Thirty something years ago, I've told you all this story. I was supposed to start a business. The Lord says, don't, just trust me. I came out as an engineer. And here I am trying to make money, trying to be a blessing. And God said, don't work. I don't know what that means. My only strength is the ability to use what I know to make wealth so I can live well. I don't know what faith is. I just got saved. And God says, trust me. And then I'm trying to trust God. I have no gas in my car. And then I can't ask somebody because the person says, go get you a job. I have no gas. So I was going to Bible school one day, one morning. Me and one of my friends, Pastor Chris, I was going to Bible school. I ran out of gas. And I'm here saying, God, I can walk and make money. Why should I run out of gas? And I'll go tell people I'm a Christian. They say, that's what happened to Christians. They say they believe God and they're running out of gas. I was embarrassed. So I say, you know what? I looked at the sky. I said, God, there's no way you created this world. It's either I'm lying to myself or you're not true. If you created this world, you made all these things, something needs to change in me. So I trusted the Lord. I said, okay. I stayed in the car and I started praying. I said, God, now this is testing. My mind is going, you're late at the Bible school. You have things you're supposed to do. All these people will think you don't. I mean, all these things in my mind was bombarding me. I said, I don't care. At this point, God, you're going to provide gas for me. There was a gas station by that place where you have a close to Taco Bell then. And somebody came all the way from Charleston, came back carrying a gas can by there, came and knocked in. By then, I was already falling asleep in that place. He knocked in the window. He said, I went down. I woke up. I went down. He says, you're out of gas, is it? I say, yes. And he says, I was going to Charleston. And the Lord said, go back to Cleveland. There's somebody that didn't have gas. And I saw your car. And I said, that's the man. Do you know what that? It looks little. No. It looks like a little thing. But my life was at stake for that to happen. Amen? When that happened, something clicked in me. It wasn't long. Just for time, really quick, I ran out of gas again. This time, know what the devil said? The devil said, anybody can see that you ran out of gas by the gas station. That's why it wasn't God. It was that person knew that. You know, the devil. So this time I ran out of gas. I made myself push the car to a parking lot. No way you're in Bible school, you can do anything. I pushed the car to a parking lot, so I said, nobody can see it here. I stayed inside the car, prayed, and I fell asleep. Somebody came and knocked. Say, Michael, I saw your car in the parking lot. Are you out of gas? How will you ask me, my car is in the parking lot? The third time I ran out of gas, that's when I passed the text for gas. From that time, I've never run out of gas. But that did something to my faith. Let us look at something really quickly. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. I want you to pay attention now, because what you're about to hear, I can tell you stories. There are too many sickness, too many problems. I want to show you one of the ways to defeat it on the foundation of the Word of God. Romans chapter 4. Let's read from verse 17. As it is written. Everybody say, written. This is the Bible, isn't it? Amen. We all read it. It's written. As it is written, God is saying to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Amen. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as what? Who against hope believed in what? Hope. That he might become the father of what? Many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Listen to this. Verse 9. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, which he was now about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he has promised, he is able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He says, this was not only written for him, that it was imputed, but as to us, as many that will believe. My brothers and sisters, let's begin to look at it before we close. What did we just read here? In the beginning was the word. Abraham is here. And God says, Abraham, I am speaking to you. You will be the father of nations. You will be the father of nations. Kings will come out of da, 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 all these promises. As Abraham heard it, he believed it. Got excited. Amen? He was so excited, he left his comfort zone. He left his family. He left where he knew. He left his comfort zone. He went out on a limb of faith and took a lot of people with him on that promise. He didn't know he was going to be trained to be in the school of faith. That's why it's called the father. Example of faith from the Old Testament. The school of faith, what does it say in this wise? Abraham stepped out to go to this school, and every time he looks, things are working out here, but that one thing God said, you will be a father of nations. The more he was in this school, the more he was getting old, no father. The more Sarah's womb was getting dead, no child. Amen? To cut the long story short, you all know the hint. Finally, Abraham got to this place of the school. Sarah's womb would just be died. 80-something years old. Abraham, old. So God, did you speak to me? Did you really speak to me? You know, shame is involved. Integrity is involved. People are following you. Pressure is there. Did you speak to me? Now Sarah's womb is there. Because of the embarrassment, because of the pressure, because of, he got to the school, he says, this cannot happen anymore. So Sarah said, I agree. I think when God spoke, it wasn't clear that it's me. So we have probably made a mistake. So let's help God. Amen. So let's find somebody that is still young, vibrant, that can give you a child. And that's the problem man is still suffering till today from Ishmael. So Ishmael was born. Ishmael, always remember this, Ishmael is always what we produce that is not God's promise for us. So when Ishmael was born, listen to this. After Ishmael was 13 years now, guess what? Abraham and Sarah has completely believed this was the promise. After 13 years, God now comes to Abraham and says, that's not my promise. He said, how can this be? Genesis 17. He says, but what is your promise? He said, my promise is through Sarah. Abraham, Sarah's womb is dead. He says, but my word can raise the dead. The word of God has no limit. The word of God can change weather. Elijah heard from God to pray there will be no rain. For 3.5 years, he stopped the weather channel in Israel because he prayed. He suspended. Joshua prayed. God suspended time. The word of God does not know whether you're dead or alive. The word of God just is alive. It does what God says it will do. Because it's God and the Holy Spirit confirms it. The key is, if you believe in your heart. You can never believe what you don't have inside of you. That's why he says, meditate, chew it, digest it. So Abraham, God finally came to him because he said, listen, Abraham, it's okay. I am God. It will come to Sarah. But let me teach you something. And that's when he taught Abraham this principle. The Bible says, I just read to you, Abraham believed God. But the only thing Abraham could not do was to speak what God has spoken to him. So God changed Abraham's name and said, from now, call yourself father of nations, no more just Abraham. Abraham. He called him now Abraham. And that became his name. So he made it his name. So now Abraham goes there and says, I am the father of nations. People call him, you're Abraham, father of nations. And Abraham goes about, Sarah's womb is dead, I'm the father of nations. Because what you believe, when you speak it, you manifest it.
Amen.
And that happened. You know why I'm saying this? There's something that has been happening lately. We just think the things of God are just magic. There is a testing. There is a growing. It's all in the Bible. You can't bypass the principle of the word of God. It's not, you don't wake up and just become a man. You go from your womb, you grow, you grow in faith, in grace, to time, and you become matured. There's nothing wrong about a child making mistakes, trying to lie down and then later learn to crawl, later learn to walk. We're excited about, God is excited about our mistakes as long as we are making efforts to grow. But if we sit in church and pile ourselves with knowledge and we see trials as nuisance, as the devil trying to do this, and not use the trials for our spiritual growth. We can be in church 30 years and people come and are making exploits. So what did God teach Abraham? Abraham looked at Sarah's womb and said, Sarah, you are the father, your mother of nations. He looked at himself. He's calling himself Abraham. That's why God gives names. So what happened? That period of 1 year from this experience of Abraham speaking, Sarah became pregnant. My brothers and sisters, there are situations we all go through. The one that bothers me the most is when people just hear doctors or somebody say, this is the situation. There is no solution to it. Especially when they mention the word cancer, the people just die right there. The moment we hear some human, incurable, or something, or whatever, the moment we hear it, the person immediately says, my time is over. I'm talking about in the church. This is what I was working with people. You see, what situations come to tell us, what circumstances come to tell us, they're like police coming and say, do you believe what you have been preaching? Do you believe? It's not a condemnation. It's a promotion if we fight the fight of faith. And when you're fighting the fight of faith, not everybody believes you. Some people think you're crazy. Some people think you're mad. Some people think you're in denial. Some people just give up on you. So sometimes when you are facing radical confrontation, situation that looks impossible, Jesus will tell some people, get the parents out of the door. Get this unbelief. Get all the, just take the people that believe. Because every small unbelief can hinder. I was praying for somebody one time, a situation, and inside of me, God was telling me, somebody is telling you, what about this situation in their spirit? Those things can affect your ability. If Jesus can remove unbelief, take some disciples out of the equation, like Thomas, every time Jesus wants to do something, he said, what do you think about this? There's a reason we fight battles. It's not every battle we fight we win. Sometimes you pray for this, the person is sick more. You pray for this, somebody dies, we just give up. No, you don't give up. You keep on, and you keep on trying. Maybe you see this person raise up from the dead. One person out of 100 raised from the dead changes your faith. Let me be honest with you. Almost 80% of the bill I pay with my mouth. 80% of my financial life sometimes comes out of my mouth. When we were going to get a house, the moment we confirm we need a house, we're going to move into the house. Because I would tell you, I just said, this is the house, bring your hand. I held our hands. And I said, this is it. We prayed. We claimed it. We purchased it by faith. There was not a penny in my account. As soon as I started confessing and saying it, this is our home. We purchased it. We stood in agreement. Yes, I believe it. The testing started. We went to the bank. We went through this. Favor will come. Then hindrances will come here. Hindrances will come. But we keep saying it. And then favor, before you know it, it was our place. So many situations. So many. When we were at the TLRA building, it was too big. The tithes and offering was just so low because we don't push people. So there's no way we could afford that. So it was a problem. So I told the church then, I said, the church will not pay for this. God said to move there. It was almost a problem. So I said, let the church not worry about it. God will take care of it. The whole of the years we stayed there, God provided for that church without the church paying for the rent. It came out of mouth. I had something on my leg that was really bad. The doctors recommended something. I tried everything. It wasn't. I started speaking. I didn't know it was a spiritual thing. Every day I would get up and say, I have good legs, healthy legs, fresh legs, legs like a baby, that, and God has done that. Your mouth is your victory. If, listen to this, you, Abraham believed, but he was not confessing. It took time. Some people confess, they don't believe, nothing happens. But if you believe and you confess, it says there will be salvation. That salvation means there will be victory in that situation with time, faith, patience. So my brothers, when you hear bad news, when you hear situations about your family, about somebody, about that, it's a given. We are human. We go through these emotions. But just remember that we have a God. And we have his word. Sometimes Jesus said, fear not. Your servant, they say your daughter is dying. Say, fear not. Speak the word. Amen. Only. And my servant shall be healed. So today, as we begin to go into the word, I want to challenge you. There's not one of us here that don't go through problems. I'm sharing this because people are going through a lot and God says there is a solution. Walk your house. I was with Keziah walking with somebody and we demo. The person just felt strength. Walk your house. Especially when you're dealing with things at work. And take the word of God and begin to speak it like a medication. Speak it. Declare it over yourself. Stand on it. Walk on it. Give it time. One result, one breakthrough will change your perception of faith. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. You are the Lord. You change it not. You are the Lord. You change it not. You are the Lord. You change it not. Almighty God, you change it not. You are my God. You change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the Lord. You change it all. I want you to think about a need that is pressing on your heart today. I want you to take this word and believe. It says, only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Now the Lord has spoken to you. When you believe with your heart, you must establish it with your mouth. I want you to believe. This is a training school of the Holy Ghost. There are times to lay hands. There are times to pray for people. But there are times God gives you something that lives with you forever. So this morning, just faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I want you to leave this place this morning. Settle something in your heart. I went through this where the pain is strong. This is strong. This is speaking louder. And I'm still worshiping. And I'm still speaking the word. And suddenly things change. God will never fail you if you believe. Receive this morning. An increase in faith by the word of the Lord. Leave this place today knowing the Lord is with you. He's the Lion of Judah, the mighty man of war. If you stand on his word, the Holy Ghost will back you. Every circumstance is subject to change where there is faith. So, Father, I thank you. This day, as we are hearing your voice and your word, I thank you for the impartation of faith. I thank you for an awakening of faith. I thank you for an ignition of faith. I thank you for a righteous anger of faith. I thank you for an awakening of faith. Father, I thank you like the woman with the unjust judge. I believe that you will vindicate. And God says, I'm looking for faith. Father, raise us up again as a household of faith. Raise us as believers again, that your signs and your wonders will be evident, that we believe your word above all. Your report is our belief. Whose report do we believe? Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I ask, oh Father, you've spoken. I thank you that this fire, this word, will awaken faith that moves mountain in the heart of your people. Receive the glory, receive the honor, receive the praise in the name of Jesus. If you put into practice, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.